This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. An inheritance of old film negatives has been turned into a multi-generational family art collaboration now on display at the Carrick Modern Art Museum in Durham. The show includes photography by the late Herbert A. Bellens. Some of his images have been reinterpreted and repurposed by his granddaughter, photographer and artist Leah Sobsey. Linda Bellens, Leah's mother and Herbert's daughter, links the work with her poetry. The exhibit is called Things My Mother Would Have Told Me If, and it is on display through November 5th. Linda Bellens is a writer, a journalist. Her career has spanned print and broadcast journalism. She's written extensively about dance, and she is responsible for this program, the creator and original host of The State of Things. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Your studio is a whole lot fancier than Swain Hall.
Did you start at Swain Hall? Yes. We'll talk about that in a minute, but welcome back. Photographer, educator Leah Sobsey has been on the faculty at UNC Greensboro since 2004. Her new monograph, Collections, was recently released. Photographs are currently on display at the 21C Museum in downtown Durham. Welcome, Leah. Good to have you here as well.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Linda, let me start with you and talk a little bit about this exhibit and these three generations. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, my father was an incredible self-taught photographer, and he would go down to the basement every night to the dirt floor, old musty basement where he created his own studio, and in chemical baths would develop these family photographs. And many years later, many years later, 16 years ago, I started writing about family soon after he died, and then had this idea that, geez, Leah, let's do something together. And that was about 10 years ago.
So tell us about your involvement in this and kind of what happens, how you got involved in this and what happened when you saw your grandfather's negatives.
Yeah, well, so as I remember, you know, I inherited my grandfather's negatives when he passed away, and it was this box of old film in glassine sleeves. And I started working on them at an artist residency about 10 years ago. So that's where I began thinking about the images and how I might use them and work with them and thinking about family and history. And then about a year ago, my mom approached me when she was turning 70 and thought, I don't think I want a party. I think I want to honor this and celebrate this in a different way. So thought, wouldn't it be great to come back to this discussion and work together on a project, and very specifically asked that we collaborate and show at the Carrick in Durham.
Well, Linda, how did your father see himself and his photography? Obviously, he was devoted to it. Did he consider it art? Did he, you know, was it the kind of thing that he felt should be up in galleries and that sort of thing? How did he approach photography?
I'm not sure my father knew they could be in galleries. Mm. He approached it as an artist, undiscovered artist. He even hand-colored a lot of the photographs. He was simply looking, and I'm not sure, was it what he actually saw when he looked at us? Was it aspirational, what he wished he could see happening? Was it some sort of idea of family? I'm not really sure, and I've really, over the years, through my own haze of growing older and the wisdom of growing older, have come to look at those photographs over and over and over as we've prepared for this exhibit. And in the process of looking and writing, I've rediscovered my mother.
How so?
Well, a lot of us grow up, and especially if we're going to write and we start writing a memoir, which I started all those years ago, we sort of get stranded in our own intransience of memory and the unruly parts of what we remember. We got to get it out there. Mm. And I hated what I was writing. Mm. And I didn't want to strand my family in that. But over time, as I started writing and then rewriting and then decided to edit like crazy, just to little moments rather than a sprawling memoir, I started to remember things about my mother differently than I had by the mere act of being a harsh self-editor.
Did the photographs in any way recontextualize your memory of this?
They did. I saw my mother before and after photographs of family, of raising a son who had hemophilia. I saw her before that in photographs looking quite happy. And then I saw her after, and Leah and I talked about this a lot, looking in her eyes and seeing a woman who didn't know what to do with that and looked kind of depressed. And her depression played out with me in a particular way with family. But she sang, and that's what saved her, I think, a lot. And she loved raising us. I want to just make that clear. She was a wonderful mother.
Well, Leah, you inherit the photographs. You've got the negatives. Tell us what you did with them then.
Right. So I began to sort of strip the context out of the photographs. So what I wanted was just the figure floating in white space. So I eliminated all of the context. You have this small photograph, small figure floating in the white space. And thinking about, I originally titled that series The Accidental Self. So thinking about this idea of what we imagine our life to be versus what actually happens, both good and bad. And then we began to sort of weave the text into the photograph. So they're very subtle poem inside of the photograph, letterpressed inside the photograph. So that was one aspect of the imagery. And then the other was a series of pillows that I made that were, the imagery is from blueprints that my grandfather had made. And so on one side of the pillows, I've taken those and created cyanotypes, so using a historical photographic process and printed those on silk. And then the other side is a poem that my mom wrote. And so, you know, you have the ability to look at both sides of them.
Tell us about the poetry, Lynn. Did you write these for the exhibit itself and in response to the photos, or had you been writing this all along?
I woke up on my birthday a year and a half ago when I turned 70. And this poem just started writing itself, as poetry sometimes does. And I didn't tinker much with it.
Can we hear it now?
Yes. It's called On Turning 70. Feet forward, head turned slowly, straining to the right, rotation limited by wear and tear. Tentative, questioning, eyes cast slightly downward over the shoulder, the fierce momentum of time rushes from behind, as if remembering something it had forgotten to say. Pause. Feet forward, head turned slowly, training to the front, advancing as I live and breathe, attentive, questioning, eyes locked straight ahead toward the plain. Is that the horizon, or a line drawn in the distant sand, warning to proceed no further, or dare to cross and don't look back?
Linda Bellins reading her poem On Turning 70, included in an art exhibit currently on display at the Carrick Modern Art Museum in Durham. So that one spilled out on your 70th birthday. Now you're putting this exhibit together. Did you write more for the exhibit, or had you been writing other poetry all along?
I've been writing poetry all along that wasn't for the exhibit, but as many people know, when things emerge artistically, poetically, dance, choreography, musically, we don't always even know where it comes from. It's just there. And if you're lucky, you remember what Lee Smith told me a million years ago, in fact, on this show. She said, always have a pen. Always. She said, when you have to be organized, she said, to be an artist, to be a writer. You have to be standing on the train platform with your bags packed, because when that train comes by, you got to be ready to get on it. So have a pen.
There you go. Somewhat like my grandfather's advice to me, though I think he meant it differently. He said, Frank, never leave the house without your pens. May have been a different context. Forgive me. Sorry, Linda. Leah, tell me about this now, this third generation. Again, the idea that you are an artist yourself, you're a photographer, so you're familiar with this kind of work. So objectively, you can view this stuff. But then this is now integrated in your family history. How did just working on this project change the way you thought about your family, or did it?
Sure, it changed the way I thought about my family. I've thought a lot about this idea of taking his imagery and reimagining it and hoping that I'm honoring him in an appropriate way. And also thinking about, you know, my own children. I have twins who are 3 years old, and thinking about my own photographic archive that I'm going to leave them, and what they might do one day with the work that I've created. So I don't think it's necessarily changed it, but I've thought about what its sort of purpose is and what his intention was. I never had the chance to actually talk to him about his intentions in his photographs, but what I see in them is this beautiful documentation of family. And often he would make self-portraits, which I think was pretty unusual for that time period to include himself in the imagery. So we have a section in the show that is just straight photographs that he made. So honoring him, giving him his own gallery space, really. And some of those images are his own self-portraits, which I think are really beautiful.
Did it change in any way or influence your ideas about photography?
I think it's really just about sort of being true to yourself. I mean, I think, you know, he did it out of love for the art of engineering. I mean, he was an engineer, and so I think a lot of that was about the science behind it, and also a way to document family moments. Although to me, I look at them as family members, but, you know, also as a trained photographer, I see them really as beautiful images just in their own, sort of outright. And I also think about how did he dream? What did he dream for these? And who knows? I don't know. I mean, there's beautiful albums that we have, but I don't think he ever could have imagined that they would be hanging in a gallery.
Linda, as an exhibit goer, if I go and I go to this exhibit, how does working through these various media and telling the stories that you're telling, what kind of impact do you think is going to have on those of us who didn't experience your family, but obviously came from families?
You know, this is always the question of the age, is asking the artist how others will perceive. And the answer is, we each bring our own seeing to whatever it is. And the way the poems are broken up, you can get right there in that one fragment, or you can understand the whole poem moving through. And then how the kind of floating feeling will hit people who are in that particular place. Yesterday, I was rehearsing in the studio space for a dance I'm actually going to perform Sunday, created by choreographer Doug Verone. And the volunteer at the Carrick, which has an amazing group of volunteers, watched because she was gallery sitting. I was simply rehearsing. She wept. And I said, well, what made you weep about that? And she said, well, it reminded me of family. And I told her nothing about this. And it reminded me of, do I do enough for family? Have they done for me? And what else can I do? And who can I be as a family member? So I was completely surprised by that.
Tell us more about Doug Verone, his contribution to this, and the fact that you've added dance. Tell us more about that decision and his participation in this.
That morning, I woke up a year and a half ago and thought, I need to dance again. I simply need to dance again. And I started writing to Doug Verone, who I covered for many years when I was writing about dance. And I love his gestural and big swooping dances. His gestural dances really speak to me at my age, because I'm not going to swoop around a stage. And so I started a conversation with him. And 10 months later, I got an email from him saying, be in New York on September 19th. 4 mornings in the studio with me. We'll create a dance. And that's what we did recently.
Wow.
He riffed off one of my poems and asked me, he bolded certain words, and he asked me to create a gesture for each one. And then from that, and through casual, what I thought were casual conversations, mm-hmm. they found their way into the work.
Had he seen the photographs?
Yes, I sent him photographs and other things before. And then we've been working long distance. I sent him a video, and he responds.
As creator and original host of The State of Things, Linda, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't ask you?
Well, I would have asked me, what is my relationship to this work? Has it changed me?
Hmm?
Has it given me some new way in addition to rediscovering my mother?
It's a great question.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And your answer?
I'm still processing this. Yeah. I stand in the middle of that work at the Carrick, where multi-generational audiences come, which is why we wanted to do it there. And I stand in the middle of that, and I feel a little detached from it. And I'm trying to understand that and allow it in. And this is the first time I have ever put poetry out in public. It's the first time I'm in a gallery show, but mostly working with my own daughter and what that's been like, I would ask me, has been just a continuous part of our conversation, a natural outgrowth of who we are, talking every day and everybody being artists in the family. So I have loved this so much. I can hardly tell you how much I love this.
Well, you talked about missing dance and coming back to that. And let me just tell you, if you ever miss being a talk show host, let us know. We miss you and we would be delighted. What a wonderful opportunity to talk with you, Linda, on the radio.
Thank you so much, Frank. It's just wonderful to be here and to be here with Leah Sobsey.
It's great stuff. Linda Bellens and Leah Sobsey are a mother and daughter pair of artists who have collaborated on an art exhibit featuring photography and poetry, and a little bit of dance at that artist talk on Sunday. Things My Mother Would Have Told Me If is on display at the Carrick Modern Art Museum in Durham, now through, I should say, November 5th. And it's presented in partnership with CLIC, Triangle Photography Festival. Opening reception tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, and Artist Talk Sunday at 4. We've got all that information at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Charlie Sheldon Ormond, Katie Barron, and Laura Pelliser. Robin Copley's our technical director, Brett Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.